The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Syrian people have endured so much over the last decade and they now seem to be enduring more again because of the assault on the country from Turkish forces, particularly those in the Kurdish-held territory. We have two guests with us. I'm going to start with Derek O'Rourke, security expert working with GOAL, the Irish humanitarian charity, which I believe has done quite a lot of work in Syria, hasn't it, Derek, so far?
Yes, GOAL has been working in northern Syria for the bulk of the Syrian conflict since 2013. So a good over six years now. And we've a massive operation in northern Syria, reaching about 800,000 people daily with food and water.
And now the needs now. How do you assess what's actually happening at the moment?
Well, what's happening now is you know, more conflict in an area that had essentially calmed down for a good period of time for about the last 18 months or so, east of the Euphrates in the northern part of the country. So more conflict means more displacement. We're looking at 130,000, perhaps more, just in the last several days, displaced from their homes. So, you know, there are massive humanitarian consequences of what's going on at the moment.
And how difficult is it to actually provide the aid that is required when there is now fighting going on again?
Yeah, you know, the access to people in need is massively, challenging when there's conflict going on. Conflict in the Syrian war, it tends to be very brutal, very intense, and so it's super difficult to reach people who are running in all directions, scattered around. And that is complicated further by the fact that Islamic State prisoners and the families of Islamic State fighters who had been in camps in the area that's currently in conflict are in the mix. And the Islamic State has taken this opportunity to, resurge. And, you simply cannot do humanitarian work in areas that are under Islamic State control. And they're going to be looking now to try and consolidate control over a few areas over there.
We're also joined by Marion McKeown, of course, who is our US correspondent. But Marion, as well as being a journalist for many years, has taken time out to work with NGOs in the region in the past. Marion, how much of the blame for this should be put at the door of American President Donald Trump?
Well, I think, Matt, that there's just no other, it's a very complicated situation, but what he has unleashed with a decision that is bewildering and reckless, and you could only, the only persons who will benefit from this really are the Russians and Putin in particular. This, you know, I spent so much time on the Syrian border and within parts of Syria back between 2013 and 2016 and the suffering of the Syrian people. And, you know, because it's not in the headlines every day, we always assume that it's gone away or it's got better. What has gone on in Syria for the last 9 years and the suffering at everyone's hands is just staggering. And to think that the Kurds are now being betrayed yet again, and the West betrayal of the Kurds goes back to World War I, but we don't have time for a history lesson here, and that these people who lost 10,000 of their fighters in helping to protect the West from ISIS have now just been abandoned and are now just, they're hopelessly outgunned.
But just Marion, second. I know we'll have the Trump fanboys onto us saying, oh, here we go again, blaming Trump for this. But let's explain what happened here. Because Erdogan, the Turkish president, was restricted from actually doing anything to attack northern Syria by the presence of American troops.
Right.
It has been Trump's withdrawal of those troops. Yeah, it's been Trump's withdrawal of those troops following a phone call with Erdogan, following his attendance to the opening of a Trump hotel in Istanbul, which has led to the current horrors. Is that not an accurate line as what has happened?
Right. Well, you know, I don't know if we can make a direct line to his attending the opening of the hotel, but certainly with Trump, everything is transactional and he is not really, I think, the President of the United States. He's President of the Trump Organization and its international advancement. And really, it's hard to see it any other way at this stage. It's pretty well exactly as you said. He had a phone call with Erdogan, in which, you know, it's been reported in U.S. media widely, he basically rolled over. Erdogan said that he was doing this, and Trump basically said, okay. Now, the thing is, because Turkey's a NATO ally, Turkey would never have gone in if America hadn't pulled back, because a NATO ally is not going to attack U.S. troops on the ground or do anything to compromise them in northern Syria. So if Trump had held firm, this would not be happening. If he had said, no, this is not going ahead, this would not be happening. Now we have, as Derek said, the UN's figures at the weekend were 130,000. God knows how many more have fled now. And I think, as Derek will tell you, and I remember this, no aid worker organization can work where ISIS is or where ISIS is resurgent, because the first thing they will do is target Western aid workers. They'll kill them, they'll torture them, they'll behead them. And also aid agencies have to protect their workers first. So when something like this happens, they end up pulling their workers out of the areas very often. So the irony is, at a time when people most desperately need help, just ordinary civilians, and they've been through so much, there's nobody there to help them. And this is what's really the tragedy of this, you know, and the blame has to be laid at the US's door. Iran and Russia are the ones who are going to benefit here.
Yeah, but just one other thing before I go back to Derek, and we will talk more when you're on with Cal Thomas tomorrow evening, but the likes of Lindsey Graham, the senator who has been one of the enablers for Donald Trump, who has spoken out in horror at this action, which is leaving the Kurds at the mercy of the Turks coming in. What are they doing now? Having given their statements the first time condemning Trump, what more are they doing to try and stop the man?
Well, they're hand-wringing and they're muttering about sanctions. But, you know, sanctions take months to work. Sometimes they take years to work. And by then, Erdogan will have got what he wants, which is to clear that corridor out and to exact as heavy a pounding as he can on the Syrian Kurdish forces in the meantime. And, of course, Assad, who is the most brutal dictator imaginable, and the atrocities that he has carried out and his troops have carried out, it suits them as well, because now they can go back up basically the Kurdish democratic forces, the Syrian forces, have made a Faustian pact with Assad, because he's the only person left who can protect them. But he will take his time. If a lot of them get killed in the meantime, he's not going to worry. So you cannot imagine a bigger mess at the moment. This has just unleashed, I don't think anybody knows where this will end. And now, of course, Putin is the power player here, because America, and this is also due to Obama's very, very bad decisions in the region, America really has no muscle left and no influence. Putin can pick up the phone to Erdogan and say, okay, stop this now. But again, this is whole region is now becoming increasingly under Russian control. But the price,
Marianne,
that's being paid in human terms is just appalling.
And we'll talk to you more with Cal Thomas tomorrow night. A listener says, all the Syrian people have endured, yet some Irish people protesting the development of facilities in Ireland to try and support these people who have been displaced and traumatised. And back to you, Derek O'Rourke. What will happen with people who have to move again? People who have been displaced and traumatised. Is this going to lead to perhaps even more of them then trying to escape to come to Europe?
The people that are currently being displaced, I don't see that they have a route to Europe right now at the moment, because traditionally from the Syrian conflict, the route to Europe has been across the border and into Turkey. And of course, you know, if these people are fleeing from a Turkish incursion at the moment rather than being able to go the other way. The roundabout routes, I suppose, yes. And then, you know, there's the possibility that those people would come out another way through Iraq.
And Derek, what can you do for
Europe.
Them? What can you do for people at present?
Well, right now, it's very difficult for humanitarian agencies to do anything at this moment, because, as we spoke before, on the ground, it's very there's very, very heavy conflict. Humanitarian agencies right now are either hibernating or evacuating to a safer place and trying to assess and trying to see what they can do. So at the moment, it's very difficult. And then it's changing every day. The front lines are moving. There are airstrikes. There's shelling. So it's very difficult for humanitarian agencies to do anything immediately, other than try and assess where people are going, how they can be reached, how they can get the basics to them, like water and food, medical treatment for those who have been hurt. And then, you know, again, in the Syrian conflict, it's civilians who are suffering, civilians who are being killed, you know, children being left without parents, parents being left without their children. So, you know, it's just horrendous.
It's terrible.
It's a terrible situation.
All right. Thank you very much, Derek O'Rourke from Gold, for joining us. And Marion McKeown. Marion will be back with Cal Thomas tomorrow evening here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.